Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Right, I'm going to begin with just telling you of a sequence of events over the last few days. Last Tuesday, I spoke to you about relationship with the Lord in prayer, about our unity, drawing others into that unity. And I said to you that I'd spent previous days, week or 10 days or so, really focusing on the glory of God and getting a fresh revelation of His glory. And one of the tweets that I sent during that time, well, I always pray that God would just cause me to say things in those short messages that will be relevant to people. But one of them was telling people not to forget the prophetic words and promises that God had spoken over their lives, because even if we've lost sight of them, God never has. And if He has spoken, then He watches over His word to perform it. So then we had the victory in prayer meeting on Wednesday. And I was really meeting with the Lord during that time. Sometimes, you know, that happens and I sort of lose touch a little bit with what's going on in the meeting, because I just get caught up with what the Lord is saying and doing. And during the course of that, the Lord told me to go and take a particular Bible off my shelf. Now, I've got somewhere between 20 and 30 Bibles. Old ones that, because when I was traveling, a Bible would last about 2 years before it fell apart. And because I was the leading Christian author for several years, publishers would always send me new Bibles whenever they were published, hoping that I would endorse them and promote them. So I've got a whole selection of different versions of Bibles that I've used myself, and they're just there on the shelf. Some of them at home, some of them here. So if anybody wants an old Bible, the Lord told me to go and take this particular Bible off my shelf. So I actually went home and did that. And I was sort of holding this Bible in my hand. I thought, now, why on earth, Lord, do you want me to hold this Bible? I mean, where do you want me to look? I didn't have any sense. You know, often God gives you a scripture, doesn't He? Tells you where to look because He wants to speak to you. And I just was sort of flicking through this, not having any word from God. And there on the inside cover was a piece of paper with a prophecy written on it, a prophecy that was given, it would have been in one of our revival days, in November 1998. And as I read this, I realized that what God said then, He's saying now. This is a word to Kingdom Faith that we might have lost sight of, but He hasn't. Something that is really relevant and pertinent for this time. And I just felt the Lord saying that I was to share this prophecy with you this morning. And that He is going to do something here amongst us as a result. Then we came to Sunday morning and we had an excellent word from Pastor Helena about decreeing and praying with authority. And you will see how that was an outworking of part of this prophecy. That actually, this prophecy was given at a time when there was a lot of decreeing going on, a lot of authority, a lot of power being released through the ministry here, through the church, and here at Rafi. It was a very powerful time. It was a powerful time of worship. There was a powerful move of the Spirit going on at the same time. And it seemed that that message on Sunday was an endorsement of what God is saying here. So I'm going to read this prophecy. Take it not as a piece of history, but as something that God is saying now. Because the way he sort of led this to me was so bizarre, really. And I thought, goodness me, the Holy Spirit even knows what bits of paper in the Bible is on my shelf. I mean, I didn't even know it was there. I mean, it must have been a Bible that I was using at that particular time. Because I haven't taken that Bible down and off the shelf for some long time. So are you ready?
Yes.
You don't have to take notes because I've got a copy of it that you all can have at the end. Listen to me, my people. Hear me well. I am the Lord who walked upon the earth. I am the one who came to inhabit humanity. Or perhaps I should just explain for our foreign-speaking students that the Lord uses the word mantle, and a mantle is like a large cloak that you wrap all around you. Okay, so that might just help. Listen to me, my people, hear me well. I am the Lord who walked upon the earth. I am the one who came to inhabit humanity. I am he who came to share your sorrows, your trials, even your temptations. I am he who came in the weakness of human flesh and lived among you. I came because I longed for another day when I would come and inhabit all humanity, as many as would have me, as many as would welcome me, as many in whom I could live and make my dwelling, as many as would really want me to be Lord of their lives. When I came in my humanity, I came with my kingdom life and power. I came with the truth. I came with the light. I came in the power of heaven, the power of my eternal life, the power of my spirit. And I taught, and I preached, and I healed, and I saved, and I delivered, and I fed, and I supplied, and I met the need. And I raise the dead. And when I return to heaven, my longing could be fulfilled, that what I had done in my own body, I would do in a new body, and I would do in all those who would have me, in all those in whom I would come and live. Do you not understand? Do you not perceive what salvation is all about? It is not merely that you may go to heaven, but I may live in you and work through you and through your body and through your life in the way that I work through my own body and my own life. Is this not why I have said that you shall do the same things as I have done? Do you not hear? Do you not understand? Know this, that you are a blessed people with a sovereign call on your lives. Some of you have seen me hold out the scepter of my authority to you. I hold out the scepter of my kingship to all of you. If you take hold of that scepter of my authority, you must surrender to my authority, and then my authority will work through you. Do you hear me, child? For I speak to each one of you. Some of you have prayed to me, Lord, give me the mantle. I want to wear the mantle of which I have heard in recent days. I ask you, child, are you really prepared to wear my mantle, the mantle of godliness, the mantle of righteousness, the mantle of truth, the mantle of sacrifice, the mantle of obedience. I am looking for those who will wear that mantle worthily, and I will place that mantle upon all who desire such a mantle. So I ask you, do you really desire such a mantle? Because that is my mantle, that is the mantle I wore. That is the mantle I have placed upon those men and women who have served me selflessly, faithfully, and obediently, even though there was sin and insufficiency in their lives. And I will place that mantle, even today and in these coming days, upon any one of you who will seek to wear it worthily. Even while I walked on the earth, so many around me were playing games, dancing to their own tunes, while I had come to give them life and establish my purposes in their midst. They were so busy with their games, they scarcely noticed me. They had no heart for the things that I had come to establish in their midst. But I found those who would walk with me, who would go with me, who would face the cost, and on whom one day, when the time was right, I could place my mantle. Beloved children, you read of their exploits in the words of Scripture, because they wore my mantle. And one day men and women the world over will read of your exploits because you choose to wear that mantle. There is no cheap glory. Lasting fruit does not appear overnight. I have been preparing a people here who will wear my mantle worthily. I have come. I am here in the midst of you. Do you not perceive it? Come to me now. Take what is mine to give, and I will not deny any who come. So that's encouraging. Now, when you have an encounter with the Lord and His glory, there's a great sense of His majesty. And this prophecy came out of things, obviously, from what was said, things that God had been speaking to us about this mantle and about His scepter. Now, the scepter is the symbol of authority and power. When our queen was crowned, she was given a scepter to hold as a symbol of her royal authority and power. And that's what it signifies in Scripture. We heard on Sunday about how Esther, when she came into the presence of the king, which was something she was not supposed to do unless she had been summoned, he held out his scepter. And it says in chapter 5, verse 2, that Esther touched the tip of his scepter. Now, that was very, very important because it signified that he was prepared to exercise his authority to receive her. She could technically have been killed if she came into his presence without being summoned, even though she was his wife. But touching the tip of the scepter signified that she was submitting to his authority. And there's been a number of occasions, several occasions really, when over the course of years, and I've been meeting with God in His glory, He has held out His scepter. You wouldn't be here in Rafi if that hadn't happened when I met with God in His glory and He gave me the promise of the gift of $1 million. These things are real. I mean, it's not, they're real things in the spirit. And real things happen to you when God encounters you in these kinds of ways. And it so happened that during those days when I was focusing on the glory of the Lord a couple of weeks ago, that again it was like he was extending that scepter, touch my scepter afresh, touch my authority in a fresh way. And then there was this prophecy about the mantle, and I must confess it's some time since I recalled that prophecy. And God had been speaking to us about wearing the same mantle that Jesus wore. Now, Jesus said, anyone who has faith in me will do the same things as I have been doing. Now, if you think about it for a moment, that would not be possible unless God gave us the same authority and the same power that Jesus had. It would be impossible to do the same things as Jesus without having the same authority and the same power. And as I've been praying over these last few days about this, since I read this prophecy, God, well, he's astounded me, really. And one of the things that he was impressing upon me, you know, sometimes God asks you questions and you know there's always a great truth behind the question, that he never asks pointless, needless questions. And the question was, what is the nature of your anointing? And I, you know, you think, now, wait a minute, Lord, what are you getting at? I knew somehow the answer wasn't, well, I have an apostolic anointing or anything of that nature. And then the Lord said to me, you have my anointing. You live in the Christ, the Anointed One. And the Christ, the Anointed One, lives in you. Then he said, what my children fail to realize is that they have my anointing. They think in terms of having their own anointing. But whatever they consider their own anointing to be, it cannot compare with my anointing. And I want my people to realize that they all share in my anointing. In the anointing of the Christ, the Anointed One. And we can share in that anointing because, like Jesus, we touch the scepter of his authority. I say like Jesus because, you see, during the time of his humanity, as you know well, because I speak to you constantly about this, Jesus never did anything on his own authority. Everything he did, he was subject to the authority of his Father. He makes it clear again and again that he never acted in independence of his Father, that everything he did was in submission to his Father. And because he submitted to the authority of his Father, therefore, the authority of God the Father could be seen in what the Son did and said. And of course, the key moment which kick-started Jesus' ministry was when the Spirit descended on him and his Father spoke these words from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The anointing of God the Father came upon the Son. And it was that anointing that enabled Jesus to say, "If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. These works I do are not my works, they're the works of the Father." Because he carried the Father's anointing. You see, he was the anointed one, but he could only be the anointed one because someone anointed him. And it was his Father who anointed him. It was his Father who gave him the authority. The Father even said that he had given him the sole authority to judge. No one else was allowed to judge because nobody had been given authority by God to judge except Jesus. So all authority belongs to the Son, because only to him has the Father given the authority to judge. We act really in a rebellious way when we seek to do things that we have not been given the authority to do. And because he is Lord, all authority flows from heaven, from God himself. So he invested all his authority in the Son. And then Jesus, as the Son of God, invested authority in his disciples. He gave them authority. As Pastor Clive was saying on Friday, I think it was, at the 8 o'clock, gave them authority to heal the sick, gave them authority to cast out demons. Whose authority? His authority. Because he was imparting to them, with the exercise of that authority, the anointing to do so. Now, at that point, they didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. But when they went out, they saw the sick healed, they saw demons cast out, because they were acting under the authority of Jesus. We need to understand how authority works in the purposes of God. I haven't spoken about this for a while, but it's important for us to understand it this morning. Some years ago, as you know, 5 or 6 years ago, I was taken seriously ill. I didn't know until afterwards how seriously I'd been ill. And when I got released from hospital, I was still very, very weak. And not sort of fit for service yet. And I got released from hospital on the Saturday. And I said to my wife, "I must go to church tomorrow morning." And she said, "You're in no fit state to go to church. You can't go to church. You mustn't go." And I said, "I'm going." And so my wife and I never have arguments. There's always a slight disagreement till she comes around to my way of thinking. But I did a deal with her. I said, "Right, I will go for 10 minutes. So he warned Clive that I would be coming in, and when I arrive, get me on the platform as quick as possible. And as soon as I'd done what I went to do, I would leave." So I agreed with my wife, and that is what we did. I just about made it onto the platform and was sort of holding on. to the lectern to stand upright. But my reason for going was this. What I said to the church was, do not wait for me to come back to lead you. I am passing on the authority to be a senior pastor to Clive. Now, you see, it was immensely, immensely important spiritually that I should be there and I should say that and I should do that in front of the people. Because at that moment in the spiritual realm, something passed from me to Clive. And he had then not my authority, but God's authority to lead. And ever since that time, he has grown in authority and he has grown in stature in the way in which he has led Kingdom Faith. But that was an exceedingly important thing for me to do. I would not have even ventured to come to the service that morning if I had not understood the spiritual significance of it. And although for a time, you know, I continued to be an elder and so on, there came the point, you see, where I was relinquishing more and more authority to Clive and through Clive to the other elders and those who stand with him in the leadership. What they couldn't do was take anything from me. That would have been rebellion. You see, I still believe it's right for me to do these keynote addresses on a Tuesday morning. The elders couldn't turn around to me and say, we think we ought to do the keynote. They immediately would be going against the authority of God. When the time is right, I will no doubt pass this over, because there's not much left to pass over. I will no doubt pass this over. But you see, this is how authority works. God invests authority in people. He invested his authority in Jesus. Jesus invested his authority, but it's his authority. And what the Lord wants us to understand is that it's his anointing. His anointing, not our anointing, his anointing that enables us to exercise his authority. So you see, we have to understand this whole business of authority at two levels. Each one of us, as the children of God, is to touch the Lord's scepter. Actually, it's a good thing to do that regularly, like I do myself. When I'm in prayer and I have this sort of sense of the glory of the Lord, I reach out my hand and I touch that scepter. And I believe, you see, that something happens spiritually every time I do that. You know, there was a time I was lying exactly here on my face before the Lord. Lots of people on their faces. There, before me, were the feet of Jesus. Nobody else would have been able to see the feet of Jesus, but I could see the feet of Jesus. Jesus said to me, reach out your hand and put it in my wound. Now, you would say there was nothing there to see, but I could see. So I reached out my hand and put it in the wound, and immediately the power of God shot right the way through my whole body. It was like a high-voltage electric shock. Boom! You would say there was nothing there. Physically. But there was something there, spiritually. And when you respond to what the Lord tells you to do, then you see the reason why he told you to do it. And so often his reasons are that he wants to impart. You see, touching his authority is not just to keep us humble. We'll see from Scripture something about the scepter in a moment. It's not just to keep us humble, although that is a significant part of acknowledging his authority. But it's also to keep that authority fresh within our lives so that we are continuing to exercise that authority, the authority that he gives us as every believer who lives in Christ and in whom Christ lives. So we have to understand the authority of God at that level. But we also have to understand the authority of God in the way that I've just described, how he imparts that authority to people who then have the authority to impart authority to others. You see, none of you have the authority to come up here and speak this morning because I haven't given you that authority. But if I said to any one of you, come forward and speak, you would therefore have the authority to do so. Now that's just a minor thing. But what you understand from Scripture, and this is very, very important, is you are always accountable to the one who gave you the authority. You see, I gave authority to Pastor Clive to lead Kingdom Faith, and effectively, that's what he is doing. But he is still accountable to me. I still, if you like, in spiritual terms, have authority over him because I was the one who gave him that authority. So he is accountable to me for the way in which he exercises that authority. Now, that's no problem for me and it's no problem for him because I've got no problems in the way he exercises the authority that I've given him. That is how God's authority works. There are other people here on the leadership team that I have ordained. And when you ordain someone, you give them authority. They are accountable to me, and they will always be accountable to me as the apostle who gave them that authority. I would have the right to intervene and to speak to them at a personal level anytime I chose. If I felt that was right and necessary thing to do. This is how authority works. It doesn't only work like this in the church. It works like this in a school, in a business, out there in the world. You only have authority if you're given authority. You go and work for a company, you will have the authority to do the job they give you to do the job. If you get promotion, then you're given more authority. Perhaps it's authority over people. Perhaps it's authority to do certain things. But that authority has been imparted to you. It has been given to you. It has been communicated to you by somebody who is over you. And so you are accountable to them for the way in which you use that authority. And if you use it correctly, you're likely to get further promotion and even more authority. And it works like that in the kingdom. This is why Jesus says that you prove faithful in little things, then God puts you in charge of bigger things. It is an awesome thing to exercise the authority of God. Now, why do I mention this in the light of all this scepter and mantle business? For this reason. That you see, Jesus was the great man of authority because he was so submitted to his Father's authority. He all the time recognized that he only had authority because it was in his humanity, because it was given him by the Father. So he was accountable to the Father at all times, even to the point of praying through those 3 hours of agonizing prayer before he went to the cross. Father, not my will, but yours be done. There is the heart of a submitted person. Yeah. Not my will, your will. He said to the disciples that the Father had given him the authority to lay down his life and to take it up again. He even had to be given the authority of his Father to die, to go to the cross. And because he was submitted to the Father in that, then the Father also exercised his authority to raise him from the dead. Victory over death. Now, the scepter is the sign of kingship. It's a sign of authority because it's a sign of kingship, of majesty. There are a number of things in Scripture where it says we are to clothe ourselves. Like the Christ in whom we live, in the Psalm it says, we are to clothe ourselves with splendor and majesty. Now, we don't have any splendor and majesty of our own. It's the Lord who is enrobed or who wears the mantle of splendor, of glory and majesty. So what is the Lord urging us to do in these prophetic words? Take that mantle upon yourself. Wear my mantle of majesty and glory because you are to share in my reign as a citizen of my kingdom, as a child of my grace. And what the Lord wants us to do is to wear this mantle with dignity, with honor, with faith. Then the scripture says, that the mantle in Isaiah is a mantle of strength. Clothe yourselves with strength. If we wear the mantle of the Lord. And what God was saying in that word, and I can remember as clear as anything in those days when this prophecy was first given, God was talking to us about wearing this mantle worthily. Wear the mantle that I place upon you worthily. That mantle of his majesty and glory. That mantle of his strength and of his power. Then the scripture says we're to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans. So we wear the mantle of Jesus, clothed with Christ. We wear this mantle worthily. We wear it with confidence. We wear it with boldness. But you see, in all these scriptures, clothe yourselves. And in that prophetic word, you see, God was saying, I hold out this mantle to you. Who will come and take it? Who will come and wear it? Who will wear it worthily? This mantle of his majesty and of his glory, this mantle of his strength and of his power, this mantle of Jesus clothed with Christ. Then in Colossians, Paul says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness and patience. Wear that mantle of compassion. Wear that mantle of kindness, of humility, of gentleness, of patience. And of course, because this is the mantle of the Lord, we will be accountable to Him as to how we wear this mantle. Hallelujah. And then Peter says, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. This is not a mantle you wear with pride. You wear worthily, but you wear with humility, even humility before others. It's not that you strut about decreeing this, that, and the other out of a sense of pride. Now, we are in a chain of command. I was speaking to you students last week about the centurion who came to Jesus because his servant was sick. And how Jesus was astounded at his faith, astonished. He said, even in the whole of Israel, I haven't encountered anybody with faith like this Roman soldier. And even among his own disciples. What did he understand about Jesus? Well, he understood that he was a man of authority. And as a Roman officer, he knew about the exercise of authority. But then everybody understood that Jesus was a man of authority. The people said, what is this? A new teaching, and with authority. And all those that were opposing him said, where do you get this authority from? Who gave you this authority? Everybody recognized he had authority. If somebody's got authority, you can see they've got authority. But what the Roman centurion understood, nobody else had really cottoned hold of, especially those that were opposing Jesus, that you can only have such authority if you are under a greater authority than yourself. So in the days of his humanity, you see, although he could say the Father and I are one, Jesus also said the Father is greater than I because he had to be subject to the authority of his Father. He could not act in independence of his Father. What the Roman centurion understood is that Jesus could do all these things because he was subject to a higher authority. And the first thing the Roman centurion said is, I'm a man of authority and I understand how to command soldiers. He said that, but the first thing he said is, I am a man under authority. So if you want to exercise the authority of God, if you really want to learn how to decree things in the name of Jesus, you have got to get hold of this. You are a man or woman under authority. And anybody can say the words of decree. It's what happens when you say them that matters. Yes. Does what you decree take place? Yes. Now, if you are subject to the authority under which you have been placed, then when you speak, that which you say will happen. But you see, if you are not subject to the authority over you, why should anything that's under you be subject to your authority? There's a spiritual principle there. It's not a question just of saying, right, I'm going to decree this and decree that and decree the other. You have to be subject to the one who has given you the authority to decree. That's why it's so important for us to listen to the Holy Spirit so we know what to decree. It isn't that God just gives us carte blanche to decree anything that we fancy decreeing. But we're to be led at all times by the Spirit. Now, the message you heard on Sunday is exceedingly important. What I'm sharing with you now is how to put that into operation in your life. But it's not just a matter of decreeing. You see, when you live under the authority of God, then all those things, if you, you know, wearing the mantle that God gives you, then all those things, His glory, His majesty, His strength, Jesus Himself, His compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, humility towards one another, all those things will be manifested in your life as well. But the important thing is you'll get results. And you see, this is what matters. That when we decree, we get results. There are some things of national significance I can remember at around this time we decreed. I can't tell you what they are publicly. I would not. It would be a wrong thing to do that. But I can tell you that in some ways the history of this nation was deeply affected by things we decreed at that time. Jesus. But you see, this was a time when God was actually really doing a number on us about honoring the anointing, honoring those who are over you in the Lord, honoring. And I remember at the end of the three Sundays of the 2020 that Clive did in January, the very last thing he said, of course, the thing that encompasses all this is that we honor one another. Without that honoring, there will be no power. Without that honoring, you can decree what you like and it won't happen. Why? Because how can you be subject to authority if you don't honor the authority? You see, why are we subject to Jesus' authority? Because we honor Jesus. Are we getting this? There's no cheap glory. There's no cheap victories. But you see, what the Roman centurion understood was that he was in a chain of authority, that he had authority under him because he was obedient to the authorities over him as a soldier. But he understood this about Jesus. Jesus had authority over sickness. He had authority over demonic powers. He had authority to do all the things he was doing because he was in a chain of command. He was under the authority of his Father. And the same is true for every one of us. We have authority in the name of Jesus. We have authority to do what Jesus tells us to do. We have authority to do and to pray and to decree what the Spirit tells us to do. We are in a chain of command. We are not the top of the chain. Amen. So what is passed down to us from the Lord, we decree in His name, and the power of God goes out to enforce what He is saying. Decreeing it is agreeing with God and exercising our faith. But you see, what all these scriptures point out to us is that in order to be in the place where you can do that, you have to be in right submission, not only to God's direct authority, but also to the authority under which you're placed wherever you happen to be. So being clothed with the mantle of love and honor and humility for one another is a very important part of the ability to exercise that authority. You see, there are some people that live in a spiritual cloud cuckoo land where they think they just have this, oh yes, well, I'm just accountable to the Lord. I'm not accountable to anybody else. I'm just accountable to the Lord. Now, that makes them a one-man church, which is a biblical nonsense. Because, you see, we have to be accountable to the head, but He's the head of a body. So we have to be accountable within the context of the body. We have to be submitted within the context of the body. That's why anybody that takes himself out of the body rebels against the authority of God. If they're sent out, then they're sent out with the authority of God. What a big difference between the two things. There's a great difference between making your own independent decisions and being sent out with the authority of those who have God's authority to shepherd, to pastor, to care, to lead, to direct. So it's important to ensure that our lives are in right order in this chain of command. Now, what does God want to do this morning in the light of all this? Well, I believe, like this prophetic word says, God is doing two things. He's holding out his scepter. I can remember some years ago in one of our revival conferences here in the church, we had a visiting speaker who did something at the time that I didn't like. Sometimes you find a speaker will put you in a position that you wish he hadn't done that. But, you know, they do it without any pre-warning. They do it in the middle of a public meeting, and there's not really much you can do except go along with it. And this particular man was talking about God's order in the body of Christ and being submitted to the authority of those who are over you. And he asked me to sit on a chair at the front. And then he asked all the people present to come and tell me that they were submitted to my authority. Well, you know, I'm not one for doing that kind of thing, really. Because either someone is submitted or they're not. It turned out to be very interesting. Because what you could perceive spiritually, or what I could perceive spiritually as I sat there, is how many people were saying that genuinely, and those for whom it was words, and you knew it didn't come from their heart. Very interesting. And I thought to myself at the time, well, if it's possible for me to perceive that, it sure is certain that God perceives whether we're genuine in the things that we say or whether they're just words because we go along with what's happening and we say what is expected of us. But God doesn't look on the outward appearance. He doesn't just listen to the words. He listens to the heart. And so I think this morning, I'm sure this morning, God is listening to the heart. What he wants is for us to touch the scepter of his authority, to come into his presence like Esther did, to know that he is holding that scepter out. Whether you can want to imagine it there in front of you or not, that's entirely up to you, but to reach out, physically touch the tip of that scepter. Lord, I submit myself afresh to your authority in Christ Jesus and in your body. because you can't do one without the other. I think that's the first thing that God is doing. The second thing is He's holding out this cloak, this mantle. But He won't put it upon you unless, as He says in that word, that's what you really want. And you come to Him to let Him place that mantle upon you. Real things can happen to you in the Spirit in the next 20 minutes. I thought of asking someone to make a mantle, make a cloak that we could actually use to do this, but decided against that in the end. We're just going to do this in the Spirit. But sometimes, you know, visible things like that are a help. But there wasn't really the time to organize all that. So there we are. That's what God wants to do this morning. But let's just hear part of this again, especially about the mantle. Some of you have prayed to me, Lord, give me the mantle. I want to wear the mantle of which I have heard in recent days. I ask you, child, are you really prepared to wear my mantle? See, it's His anointing, His mantle, that He wants in our lives. The mantle of godliness, the mantle of righteousness, the mantle of truth, the mantle of sacrifice, the mantle of obedience. I am looking for those who will wear that mantle worthily. And I will place that mantle upon all who desire such a mantle. So I ask you, do you truly desire such a mantle? Because that is my mantle, that is the mantle I wore. That is the mantle I have placed upon those men and women who have served me selflessly, faithfully, and obediently, even though there was sin and insufficiency in their lives. Wearing that mantle doesn't make you perfect. Doesn't mean you will walk in sinlessness. But you won't walk into sin deliberately. And when you do sin, God will deal very rapidly with you because of the mantle that is upon you. And I will place that mantle even today and in these coming days upon any one of you who will seek to wear it worthily. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. I I can see most of you are already praying. Let's just continue in prayer. We come before the throne, humbly, but with sincere hearts and in full assurance of faith. The throne is where the King reigns. The King of glory. We don't come in our worthiness, but through His worthiness. And He's holding out that scepter. In the psalm it says that it's a mighty scepter. That enables you to rule in the midst of your enemies. That the Lord's troops will be willing on the day of battle, arrayed in holy majesty. Sharing in the authority of the King. In Isaiah, it says that with that scepter, the Lord will strike down His enemies. Like Esther, you come into the royal presence. The difference is that the King has summoned you. And He holds out His scepter to you. As you pray, you can reach out and take hold of that scepter. I always do that physically myself. I reach out my hand. It's entirely up to you how you go about this. But I see that scepter in the Spirit. It's just a rod, but it signifies the authority of the majestic King. And in reaching out to take hold of that, I am submitting myself afresh, totally, completely to His authority. I am a man under authority. My Lord, my King, my Master. And His authority becomes His authority in me. I can speak, I can act, I can pray with His authority. Take hold of that authority now, of that scepter now. You'll find that it will help you if you do that physically, if you just reach out your hand. You'll touch something in the spirit. Don't feel embarrassed. All authority in heaven and earth was given to him, Jesus said, when he gave the Great Commission. You touch that authority afresh, and that authority touches your life afresh this morning. When you're ready, just reach out your hand. Esther didn't stand there and said, well, I'm doing it in my heart, King. She actually had to come forward and touch the scepter, the tip of the scepter. I believe that's what the Lord is saying we need to do this morning. I've already done it in these last few minutes. I've had hold of that scepter. I've touched that scepter afresh. There'll be a new release of God's authority in my life as a result. Jesus will be able to exercise more of his kingdom, rule, and reign in my life as a result. Not my will. But yours. Be done. Like Ruth, you can say, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lead me, I will follow. Whatever you choose to do with me, I will rejoice. The authority to strike down the enemy. To inflict defeat on the things that come against you. In Hebrews, we read, righteousness will be the scepter of his kingdom. He rules and reigns in righteousness with justice and in truth. The scepter of righteousness, the scepter of justice, the scepter of truth. Reach out, take hold of that scepter. Touch that scepter. It's not that you'll necessarily have a great experience, but you will know that you have touched it. You will know in what way you have submitted yourself to His authority. When our Queen was crowned, as you heard, all the dignitaries from the greatest to the lesser ones came and knelt before the Queen, touched her authority, submitted to her authority. Well, this is much more important than that, as we're submitting to the authority of the Lord God Almighty, the King of heaven and earth. It's His scepter that we touch. I don't believe you can wear the cloak if you don't touch the scepter. You can't wear the cloak worthily. You can't clothe yourself with Christ without submitting yourself to the authority of Christ. So just pray for a submitted heart. So that you will be submitted to one another out of love for Christ. That you will be submitted to the head within the body. In those prophetic words, the Lord said that what He did on earth in His body, He wants to do now in His body here on earth, the church. The same things that He did. Because we have His anointing, we have His authority. Thank Him that you live in the Anointed One, the Anointed One of God, the Messiah, the Christ, lives in you. Thank the Lord that He breaks you of stubbornness, of hardness of heart. Yeah. Of a desire for self-determination, of wanting to be in charge. As you touch that scepter, you're saying, Lord, you are in charge. You are the Lord, you are the King. In my life. Now the King wants to place that mantle upon you. Once you've touched the scepter, the mantle of Christ, places it around your shoulders. yoked with Christ. Take my yoke upon you. Today he says, take my mantle upon you. The mantle of godliness. The mantle of righteousness. The mantle of love. The mantle of God's glory and majesty. The mantle of his strength and power. The mantle of his compassion and kindness. Of his humility, gentleness, and patience. Pray to wear that mantle worthily. All the unworthiness of the past is washed away. This is a new day. Thank you, Lord. The anointing of Christ himself. That his glory might be seen in your life. Those who look to the Lord will be radiant. Their faces will shine with his glory. With that authority, wearing that mantle, you will decree the fulfillment of God's will and purpose over your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to worship him. The one who is worthy of all honor, all glory, all dominion, all praise. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.